Okay, Chevra, so let's just continue with Simon Tuf Ayin Hey Seif Zion. Can you hear me? Okay. Okay, Shkaya, thank you. Actually, if you could text me his cell phone number after, so then I'll try to call him, if you don't mind. Or, you know, email me his cell phone number. Okay. So we're learning some tough ayin hei se'if zayin. And the thing that we spoke about last time is the fact that the Mechaber writes that there's only a chiyuv to eat matzah the first night of Yontiv. When the Torah says that you should eat matzah for 7 days, what the Torah really means is don't eat chametz for 7 days. But there's really no complete mitzvah to eat matzah all 7 days. Last time we learned, we spoke about how the Vilna Gaon has an interesting mahalach, where the Vilna Gaon says, you know what? There might not be a mitzvah chiyuvis to eat matzah all 7 days, but there is a mitzvah chiyumis, that if you eat matzah all 7 days, so in fact you get certain points. And last time we learned, we spoke about a few possibilities here, or a few novel points that the Gra is making. Point one, the Gra assumes that we should be choshish for pshuto shel mikra. Point two, the Gra is assuming that there is a category called mitzvah harashos. The fact is that the Gra understands that whatever appears in pshuto shel mikra of chumash is something that I should be choshish, something that I should fulfill. Rav Schechter, in his introduction to the Sefer Mipnine HaRav, gives a number of cases of mitzvahs harashos. I would just like to add one case of mitzvahs harashos, because it's somewhat relevant now. You know, there's a discussion as to whether the mitzvah to daven is it a d'oraisa or a d'rabbanon. The Rambam tells us that the mitzvah of tefillah is a mitzvah d'oraisa, but the Ramban famously writes that the mitzvah of tefillah is a mitzvah d'rabbanon. Now, what Rav Soloveitchik used to comment is that even according to the Ramban, at certain times the mitzvah of tefillah is d'oraisa. We spoke about, I believe, how be'es tzara, at difficult times, like what we have right now in Klal Yisrael, so it's a mitzvah d'oraisa to daven. And the Ramban also writes in his Perush al HaTorah that there's a mitzvah d'oraisa to daven on Yontiv. The Brisker, the Emek Bracha, for example, and other Svarim that give over Brisker Torah, they tell us that even according to the Ramban, and even if you assume that mitzvah tefillah is usually d'rabbanon, but nonetheless it's a kiyum d'oraisa. There's no obligation to daven min ha-Torah. But if one davens, so one fulfills the mitzvah of tefillah min ha-Torah. There's no chiyuv, but it is a kiyum to daven. This can explain how come, for example, the halacha is that duchening, which is a din d'oraisa, can only be a middle of davening. Well, how does that work? If davening is d'rabbanon, how does duchening become d'oraisa only in the context of davening, which is d'rabbanon? The answer is that if you daven, so then you are fulfilling the mitzvah min ha-Torah. It's a mitzvah kiyumis, not mitzvah chiyumis. So we have a number of examples of mitzvah kiyumis. Now, the other issue I just want to bring up in terms of the Gra is that the Gra, who says that one who eats matzah all 7 days of Pesach fulfills a mitzvah, the Gra might be based on a concept of os. The halacha is that we don't wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yontiv because Shabbos and Yontiv is an os. And tefillin is an os. And there's no need for the os of tefillin when you already have the os of Shabbos and Yontiv. What about Chol HaMoed? Do you wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed? So, like everything in Judaism, it's a machlokas. You've probably, you know, we used to have in ancient history, there used to be a thing called shoals, and people used to daven in shoals, and many shoals have, right? You probably remember. Yeah, so some people feel that shoal used to be just for social things, But I think now as we get further and further and further away from Shul, and the memory of what Shul was and experience fades, and the memory of what Shul is supposed to be based on the texts is that which remains, so we recognize that Shul was supposed to be a place of davening. And when you would daven, when people would daven in Shul in ancient times, so they would notice on Chol HaMoed in many places that some people wear tefillin, some people don't wear tefillin. In some shuls they had that the people who wear tefillin are behind the mechitza, people don't are not behind the mechitza. In other shuls they had it reversed. And in some shuls, like the prevalent minhag, I think, in shuls in our community, broadly defined, the prevalent minhag is that people wear tefillin in the shul together with people who are not wearing tefillin in shul on Chol HaMoed. I believe this is something you remember, correct?
Yeah, I can't see anything
on the screen share. Right. That's correct. In Israel, many people follow the Gra. Minhag Gra is prevalent in Israel more than it is here. And the Minhag Gra is that people do not wear any tefillin on Chol HaMoed. That's correct. Now, why would they not wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed, according to the Gra? So the Gra, based on the Tshuvas HaRash, etc., explains that even Chol HaMoed is called an os. Even Chol HaMoed is called an os. The os that we're discussing is the mitzvos that we perform. On Sukkah, we sit in the Sukkah. On Sukkah, we shake a lulav, even Chol HaMoed. On Pesach, says the Gra, the mitzvah that we perform that makes Chol HaMoed an os is the mitzvah of matzah. So that's already an interesting point, no? That's an interesting point, that the Gra is saying that the reason not to wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed is because Chol HaMoed has an os already, and the os is that you eat matzah. What do you mean you eat matzah? You don't have to eat matzah on Chol HaMoed, no? The answer is no, but if I eat matzah, I get points, and that's a raya to the Gra's Yisod, that there's a mitzvah, that there's a mitzvah kiyumis to eat matzah all 7 days of Pesach. Right, so that's a question. Can there be an os in the sense of not doing something? Now, people might think that I happen to like yogurt a lot, and I'm eating yogurt on Chol HaMoed just because I like yogurt. People aren't going to notice that I'm not eating bread and think that it's a religious thing I'm not eating bread. A sheva al tasa, not doing something, is harder to imagine as being an os, no? Sheva al tasa doesn't sound very os-like. Well, mila is something that is a permanent sign on the male Jewish body. It's always with you. You can notice it. You can't notice not eating chametz. I can notice eating matzah. If os is something that I can notice, that's like what we're trying to get at. No? If os is something that I notice, so then it's questionable, it's very questionable, if something that is sheva al ta'aseh could really count as an os. Think about it. I mean, you don't have to agree, but... Yeah, you're saying that bagels and lox are so embedded in the Jewish psyche that not eating it for a whole week might... I don't know. Yesh la'ayin, if there is a concept of an os, all of... by not eating. I think it's relatively... sure. I just want to talk about one other nekuda about this Gra. Remember, the Gra says that there's a mitzvah kiyumis to eat matzah all 7 days. You know, there are Rishonim, the Baha Ma'ar, at the end of Pesachim, asks Akasha, how can you not make a bracha on matzah all 7 days? That's a great question, no? So the Baal HaMo'ar answer is, well, you know what? You don't have to eat matzah all 7 days. You could eat rice if you want. That's his lashon. The Baal HaMo'ar obviously did not have our Kitniel's practice. He writes that if you want, you could be nizon ba'orez v'dolchen u'mine peiros. Right, if you want, you can eat rice all 7 days of Pesach. However, you have to be in the sukkah all 7 days of Sukkot, because you can't physically go without sleeping for 7 days.
Yes, you can.
Now, the Baal HaMo'ar is saying that you cannot physically go without sleeping at all for 7 days. You will inevitably fall asleep. Even Shenas Ara'ai, even sleeping in a temporary sort of way, is also usher outside of the sukkah. Now, what that means, according to the Baal HaMo'ar, is that l'cha'ora, eating matzah all 7 days, should get a bracha. The only reason why you don't make a bracha is because you don't make a bracha in mitzvahs harishos. Is because you don't really have to eat matzah. If you want, you could eat orez or dochen. You could eat rice, etc. I think so. When he does Mila? Yeah, absolutely, because Mila is not a mitzvah sereshos. Well, again, so when the Mayo makes a bracha, the Shach writes that the bracha the Mayo is making is b'shlichus la'av, and that's why the Shach famously leads in the direction that if the father could do a Mila on his own, so it's better to do mitzvah bo yosim shluchom, it's better to do the Mila yourself, rather than have someone do it as your shaliach. No? The father should be making the bracha. The only thing is, the father's designated the moel as a shaliach, and the moel makes the bracha for him. So the Baal HaMo'ar sounds like there is a mitzvah to eat matzah all 7 days of Pesach. However, the Reb Yitzchak ben Abba Murray of Marseille, he wrote the Sefer Aseres Hadibros, the Baal HaItor. The Baal HaItor writes that in his opinion, the reason why you make a bracha on sitting in the sukkah all 7 days of Sukkot, but you don't make a bracha on eating matzah all 7 days of Pesach, is because there's a mitzvah to sit in the sukkah, but there's no mitzvah for matzah. Right, so we could say that the Baal HaMo'ar is like Likra, but the Baal HaItor is certainly against the Gra. I think that's what would emerge from this conversation. Good? You with me? Exactly, this is Machlokes HaRishon about the status of eating matzah all 7 days of Pesach Ad Kan. Now, let's just continue here in Tuf Ayin Hei Se'if Zayin. The Rama writes that Nahagulas was Shalosh Matzah shall say there me Isaron Zechel Olach me Toda. They were using Isaron Solas, which is 43 1/5 Beitzim, 43 1/5 eggs. They would need 43 1/5 eggs together, 43 1/5 eggs of flour together with water. They need that together, and they make the three matzahs for the Seder. They're supposed to bake them in order, etc. And if any matzah breaks, the Rama writes, so that matzah should be the middle one. Okay, we don't have this minhag anymore. All the poskim say that the minhag is improper. The Mishnah Berurah quotes on the Beis Meir that the minhag is improper because l'maisa, if you're making matzah from an Yisaron of Solas, people might think that looks like you're eating Kodshim, it looks like it's Hekdesh. So, many don't have this minhag. But, okay, not such a big deal. Now, the Rama writes that you should make a simin on the matzah. A simin, which one is first, which is second, which is third. Look at the Mishnah Berurah, Se'if Katin Mem Zayin. You have it? The Mishnah Berurah, Tafayin Hei, Se'if Katin Mem Zayin. Mishnah Berurah writes, Right, Mishnah Berurah, right? Ein la'asos osios v'hekera, shekishashovrin osa have a mochek b'yantiv. Says in Mishnah Berurah, when you make a symbol on the matzah, don't write letters, don't write aleph, beis, gimel, right, to show the matzahs, because when you break the matzah, that would be the malacha of mochek. We're not allowed to erase stuff on yantiv, so therefore you should not make matzah with a symbol. Now this already is really interesting, no? In Simon Shin Mem in Hilchos Shabbos, the Ramah writes, based on the Mordechai, that you are not supposed to, if you have a cake, like a birthday cake, so the birthday cake has writing on it, so the Ramah quotes on the Mordechai, don't break it on Shabbos, that is the same as erasing. However, the Dagom Erevava, on the side of the page in the Shulchan Aruch, and it's quoted there in the Mishnah Berurah Shin Mem Se'if Katan Tesvav, the Dagom Erevava disagrees. The Dagom Erevava says there's no problem of eating birthday cake on Shabbos, even though there are words on it, because he says even though it's a psik resha that you'll be erasing, but it's a psik resha deloni chalei. You don't really want to erase. You don't care about erasing. However, you define lonely chalei, and it's erasing in an unusual way. Right? The normal way to erase is with your hands, an eraser. To erase with your mouth is an unusual way of erasing. And he gives a third reason. Then it's mekalkel. You're really destroying the writing. So the Dagom Erevava writes that even though we aser psik resha, even by drabonims, right? In other words, even though it's mochik shalom nas lichtov, still we would aser psik resha. But if you have something that's a drabonim for multiple reasons, it's drabonim because it is mochik shalom nas lichtov. It's drabonim because it's kalach yad. It's not a normal way to erase. It's drabonim because it's mekalkel. A psik resha by many drabonons is not an iser. Psik resha with one drabonon is a machlokes in shin yudalid magen avram seif katan hey. Whether psik resha on one drabonon is mutar aser. But the Dagom Erevava explains a psik resha on many drabonons for sure is going to be mutter, and therefore you're allowed to eat birthday cake. The problem over here is that the Mishnah Berurah in Shin Mem, the Mishnah Berurah in Simon Shin Mem, paskins like that Dagom Erevava. He says you should avoid eating birthday cake, but lechatchila you should avoid eating birthday cake. Over here, the Mishnah Berurah sounds like you should not make any letters on the matzos. So there seems to be a stira or a mixa stira in the Mishnah Berurah. I'm not exactly sure how to answer it, unless you're going to say that the Mishnah Berurah is just commenting over here that you should strive not to make letters on the matzos, based on that Ramah in Shin Mem, but Enochanami, according to the Dagom Erevava in Shin Mem, you're allowed to make letters on matzos because you'd be allowed to eat it anyway. Good?
Rina, please
come help. So again, this is the big question. The birthday cake question is a very big question. Lahalach and Shabbos and Yontev, Ad Kan. Let's talk briefly about Simen Tov Ayin Vav. We're not going to read it inside, we'll just talk about it very briefly. In Perek Makom Shenohagu, on Daf Nun Gimel, it's in Psachim, it says that there are different locations. In some place they eat tzli Leo HaSeder, they eat roasted meat Leo HaSeder. In other places, you don't eat roasted meat Leo HaSeder. Every place on the planet, you're not allowed to eat a gedi mekulas. You can't have your seder and bring to the table like a sheep and a full sheep that is roasted, that would be a problem any place on the planet, because that really looks like it's kodshim. So gedim akulas is also everywhere, but some places they eat tzli, some places they don't eat tzli. The Mishnah Berurah over here writes that in our communities no one eats tzli, leo haseder. That's why we say Pesach Zeh, right? That's when we say Pesach She'anu Ochlan. We don't say Pesach Zeh, excuse me. We don't pick up the shank bone, the zroa. We don't lift it up. We say Pesach She'anu Ochlan because we don't eat it. And we don't eat any roasted meat at the Seder. Not only do we not eat roasted meat, the Mishnah Berurah writes that you should not even eat Tzli Kedar. Tzli Kedar is pot roast. Pot roast means that you roast the meat in its own juices. It stews in its juices. That's Tzli Kedar. So we don't eat Tzli Leil HaSeder. We don't even eat Tzli Kedar Leil HaSeder. Not only that, there's another halacha in Siman Tov Samach Tes that we're so worried that people might think that we're eating Hekdesh. We're so worried about that, that what we do is we do, when we purchase meat for Yontiv, we should not say, this meat is for Pesach. You should say, this meat is for Yontiv. You don't buy meat for Pesach. Because if I say I'm buying meat for Pesach, people might think I'm buying a carbon Pesach.
Ima.
Now, Rashi and Tosfos have a machlokas there in Daf Nun Gimel. How far this goes? Does it only apply to meat? They say, I should not buy meat for Pesach. And meat, the poskim say, includes chicken. It does not include fish. It includes chicken, because people in common parlance speak about chicken as meat, but they don't speak about fish as meat. But, according to the Balei HaTosfos and the Pashtus in the Shulchan Aruch is, you are allowed to buy, let's say, Pesach Dik cookies, and say, I'm buying these cookies for Pesach. I just can't say I'm buying the meat for Pesach, but I am allowed to say I'm buying the cookies for Pesach. That's Tosfos' Shita. And that's the mainstream Shita among Poskim. However, it's worth noting that Rashi there, in Pesachim on Daf Nun Gimel, Rashi has a different take on Judaism. Rashi's take on Judaism is that I should not buy anything and say that it's for Pesach, because according to Rashi, the concern is that people might think I am being makdish something with kedushas damim. There are two types of hekdish. There is kedushas haguf, which is hekdish. Right? Kedushas haguf means that the item itself is hekdish. And then there's also kedushas damim. Kedushas damim means that the item itself is not hekdish, but I am sanctifying the money, and I'm going to use that money to buy something, to buy a carbon. That's kedushas damim. According to Rashi, the reason why I should not say meat is for Pesach is because people think it's kedushas damim, meaning that I am buying meat and I will sell that meat in order to buy a carbon Pesach. If that's the pshat, so then you should not buy anything and say what I'm buying is for Pesach. Everything I buy, I should say, is for Yontiv. And therefore, the Alter Rebbe actually paskins in Shulchan Aruch, like this Rashi. According to the Alter Rebbe, when I go shopping before Yontiv, even if I'm buying Pesach Dik noodles, and I'm buying macaroons, and I'm buying those little fruit slices that people used to eat on Pesach because they were disgusting and they wanted to feel the affliction of being in Egypt.
Those fruit slices.
Right, I like those fruit slices, that's true, but I don't like the macaroons. But the point is that no matter what I'm buying for Pesach, the Alter Rebbe says you should be choshish for Rashi, and you should say, I'm not buying it for Pesach, I'm buying it for Yontif. Don't say I'm buying it for Pesach. I noticed a few years ago that one of the Haredi Hashgachas in England is a Hashgacha called Kedasya. And the Kedasya Hashgacha writes on all their food, they don't write kosher lipesach, they write kosher al Pesach. And the Kedasya Hashgacha is worried, is choshesh for this Alter Rebbe in Shulchan Aruch, who's choshesh for Rashi, that if I would say the macaroons are kosher lePesach, people might think that I am being makdish the macaroon as kedushas domim, and then I will use the macaroon to spend to buy an animal to buy a carbon Pesach. That is the pshat in this din in Siman Tov Samach Tes, which relates to this din in Tov Ayin Vav, the halacha of not having roasted meat Leil HaSeder and the other halachos.
Most of the cars are already sorted. You'll see.
I know, but the piles are a little messy. I don't like the piles are a little neater than
that. Again, because if I say this is for Pesach, what are people going to think? Right? Rashi says if I say something is for Pesach, people will think it's Kedushas Domim for a carbon Pesach.
What time is it?
I just have to be makdish it as Kedushas Domim. All I have to do is I say this is Hekdish of Kedushas Domim. That's all I need to do. Yeah. Okay, so listen, I wish you a good Shabbos, and I'd like to learn on Sunday also. Maybe we'll send around an email about a good time on Sunday. Would Sunday work for you?
There's no good time on Sunday. We're trying to go over on Sunday.
Earlier is better. Okay, maybe we should try for like, 9:15 is better? Or, right, so maybe we should try for 9:30 on Sunday, Mirtzah Hashem. Okay, we'll be in touch. Yeah. We could do that. So we could do 9:30 on Sunday, Mir Hashem. Okay, have a good Shabbos and all the best. Kol Tov.